Thank you, Brother Brad, and I hope that you do as well. And if you'll take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. We'll start there, and I'm going to be jumping around a little bit this morning, so I may just have to get you to keep up with me on that. But before we begin this morning as well, I want to do something very special to me, and that is I want to wish Miss Wendy, my beautiful wife of all these years now, a very happy birthday. It is her birthday today, and I'm really glad she's able to be here, too. So, Wendy, happy birthday. I was told it was her 30-something birthday by one of the kids in the back the other night, so we're going to go with that. But we'll let her decide what she wants to tell you about that. I don't know. It might be unlisted. I'm not sure. Heaven is, and that's the title of the message this morning. I begin to realize that over the last, and God called me to the ministry in 1992, and in all these years that I could find or remember, I don't remember ever preaching an entire message just on the subject of heaven. And probably you can't do just one message, it would take multiple, but I want to speak to you just a few minutes this morning on that. I began to look it up a little bit the other day. I was praying about what God would have me preach, and I had several things in mind. And then I really got kind of down because I couldn't come up with what I felt like was what He wanted. And He woke me up one night the other night with this, and I knew exactly this was the direction He wanted us to go today. You can't find heaven by using Google Maps. I tried. I don't know about the rest of them, but there was a lot of things came up, but none of them looked like the real deal. I've never been there. I don't act like I'm going there very often. You can say amen if you want right there, because you probably don't either. I have never known anybody that's been there. Now, I've known some that said, but I'm not so sure about that. Because the Apostle Paul said there were things not even lawful to be mentioned. I cannot tell you what it looks like from a firsthand experience. But I want you to know I found a book that can. And I read it. Our society today, if you were to ask, and in a survey that was done a few years before COVID, I'm not sure if there's a survey that's accurate after COVID, about 60 to 70% of American people will tell you they believe in heaven of some sort. You know, it was a musical group that said, you know, heaven is a place on earth. Well, they were wrong. They will tell you that, and about the same 60% or so will tell you they at least have some inkling of an idea they're going there. They would like to go there. They think they're going. So it makes me kind of happy to know that I live in a country that believes that, because if I live in a country that believes that, then I would know that I really wouldn't live in a country where people spend a lot of money on temporal things like houses and cars and things that aren't really that important. You know, and it'd make me happy to realize that if I live in a country that believes in heaven, then I really wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on how I look, my hair color or my physique, or what I put on this body. Because I'm going to heaven anyway. And so I'd be happy to know that I live in a place and in a land where people wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on burial costs, because it doesn't matter anyway if you're going to heaven. Wouldn't matter if you're in a box, in a barrel, if you're burned or thrown out, or it really wouldn't matter because I'm going to heaven. And it would make me really happy to know that I live in such a world, in such a place, that since I'm going to heaven and everybody thinks they're going to heaven in my world, then I wouldn't spend a whole lot of money at all on medical costs and insurance, because I wouldn't be that afraid of dying, because I'm going to heaven anyway. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy, because I did not describe America to you, did I? Because Americans may say they believe they're going to heaven, and Christians may say they believe they're going to heaven, but they don't live like it. Instead, in America and in our society, we have people that are spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they probably don't even like anyway. But can I remind you, and I want to be an encouragement or a conviction, depending on which is needed to you this morning, that heaven is real. It is a real place. The word heaven, just the word heaven, occurs some 582 times in about 550 verses in your English King James Bible. Now, I know some of those occurrences are returning to the firmaments or the skies or some of that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39, I love this little passage in the Old Testament, simply says this: "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else." Heaven is for real. Matthew chapter 6 has multiple uses of the word heaven, and you cannot get through the recitation of the Lord's Prayer without saying heaven a number of times. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, of course, we understand why that is. "Thy kingdom come," and what do we get to? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It does not question, it does not debate, it does not ask for any reasoning, it just assumes that heaven is a real place. There are many myths about that. Heaven is a real place with real people, and it has a real plan, and it has a real purpose. It is not a cartoon version of people floating around on a sky, polishing, playing a harp with some wings, dusting off a little gold. That's not heaven. That is not the heaven of the Bible. You know, when we did Judgment House this year, we had the red, and some of you might notice we had the red. We couldn't get, I was researching what jasper walls look like, and there are green and red, and depending on the type, the most pure was the red ones that you can almost see through. And we had our curtains lit that way during our Judgment House heaven scene. Many may not have noticed that, but we did that on purpose. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but when it's that translucent as red, of course representing the blood, you can see through it. There's a lot there. But it tells us, we know that there are walls of jasper, there are streets of gold. That doesn't tell me, the streets of gold is not to impress you with the gold. It's to help you realize how worthless the gold really is when you get to heaven. You know, when you go in a home, you don't first look down at the floor, although it may be important, but you walk on it. Man, we get to heaven, the gold is going to be so commonplace, we're just going to walk on it. It's just going to be what we put our feet on. Heaven is real. In the book of Matthew as well, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, came preaching, he said, "Repent ye," for why? "The kingdom of God is at hand." And then he would say, "The kingdom of heaven." Heaven is not only real, it is ruled. Don't you get all worried. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19, if you want to turn there, if you just want to listen to the reading of it. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Book of Job, chapter 22 and verse 12, if you were to turn there, you would find that it reads, "Is not God in the height of heaven?" I heard something the other day that I had to ask the guy to say it again. And now I'm getting older, and I've never been able to hear out of the right ear that well due to a gun that went off close to it some many, many years ago. But so I have to turn the left ear sometimes to hear good. And I said, I had to look at him again. I said, What did you say? And I was actually standing right back there in the foyer talking to a representative from one of the funeral homes. And he said it again. And he said, and then I argued with, he said, I hated to argue with my pastor about it, but I had to argue with him about it. And this is what he told me. He said, my pastor, and I don't know the name of the church, and I really don't want to know the name of the church at this point, told me, and this is what the man said, he said, my pastor told me that God has no control of COVID because it was a man-made disease. And I said, what did you say? And my pastor said God had no control of COVID. And he said, my pastor is scared to death. He won't shake hands with nobody, won't touch it, wanted to close the church. He said, now we're running about 25 or 30 and he won't talk to anybody. He comes in and leaves. And I understand our pastor's watching with it today. It is real. It's been through our house, been through many of your homes, and it's going to be. We've suffered a lot at it. We know. But 1 Kings chapter 22 and many, many other places, I didn't have time to pull them all out, does not say that I saw the Lord sitting on his throne unless there's a disease. God never left his throne in 2020. He didn't step down and say, oh my, what are we going to do? Heaven is ruled. It is still under control, and heaven is still being ruled, and it is still being run just like God wants it to be run. Matthew chapter 5, 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. Many, many references to help us realize he's still in heaven, he's still in control, and don't you worry, he's not a-going anywhere either. He's in good shape. Heaven is for rest. How many of you wake up in the morning sometimes and you're tired? You want to admit that, you know? You ever had those mornings? Some mornings you wake up, you know, and your feet hit the floor and you are just, man, you are ready to go. It feels like a good spring day. You just can't wait to get out and face the day. Man, looks like some of y'all hadn't had that happen in a while. Looks I got there. I guess that doesn't happen very much, huh? And then some mornings you wake up and think, it can't possibly be morning yet. You get tired. We're not home yet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light and is easy. John chapter 14 and verse 2, if you wanted to turn there, I love this passage. Heaven is for rest. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Never occurred to me until this week, this passage of Scripture was not given in a time where Jesus is sitting down in a nice little rolling grass hill looking over the Sea of Galilee, maybe just fed the 5,000 type situation. No. This is written and told to a group of disciples who are arguing with one another about who's going to be first, and are also very upset and are staring at one another saying, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Because Jesus has just told them one of them is going to betray him and that he's about to die. And he says, "Peace. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Heaven is for rest." I don't know what that place is going to look like, but I want you to think about this. Jesus on earth was a carpenter. He had some building experience. And I've seen some beautiful woodwork that some people can do. If you go up into some of the Amish countries, and man, you see some of the stuff that they build. And some of it takes a long time by hand to build. But can you imagine, he has been building this place for the last few thousand years. What do you think the perfect carpenter can build with a perfect place with perfect materials and give him a couple thousand years to work with? Man, it's going to be something. You are going to be able to sit down and rest when you get to heaven and take it easy. Heaven is rewarding. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures, and there's that word again, in heaven. It is rewarding. We won't be just sitting around. If we study the scriptures, we find out that there will be things to do. God will have some being rulers of cities, rulers of the new world that he has designed. Do I understand it all? No, I don't understand it all. As a matter of fact, if you could understand God, then that would make God not God. And we don't understand all of that, but I do know that we are not going to just be sitting around. From what I understand in Scripture, we are going to be given tasks to do. We are going to be enjoying things. Some said, "Well, we know one another." He says, "You will know even as you're known." It's often been said, I'd hate to think that I was dumber in heaven than I was here. I mean, I know you when I see you here. I'm going to know you when I see you there. And it is for rewarding. Lay up treasures. Man, people spend their entire lives building fortunes. Do you know, I have never yet, I've done a lot of funerals over my lifetime, but I've never done a funeral where somebody looked at me and said, "Please, whatever you do, don't you dare tell them my loved one's in heaven." Now, I've had some that said they had questions. And I remember doing some services for some folks for some of the funeral homes down in Florida that I did not know the families. And I said, if I'm allowed to go talk to them first and share the gospel with them, and they will allow me to share the gospel at the service, I'll be glad to do the service. And I would do those for some of those folks. And I remember doing some of those services, and I was pretty doubtful about some. But I've never had anybody say, "Don't say my loved ones in, don't you dare ever tell those folks on that at their service there in heaven." But we live like we're going to live here forever, don't we? I've never yet, ever, ever had anybody on their deathbed said, "Please bring me my checkbook. I want to double check how much I got in the bank." All of a sudden, family and time and people matter more than anything else. Lay not up treasures here on earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. we won't just be sitting around twiddling our thumbs and the worship that's going on. Man, when you see, Brother Brad gets up here and sings, and Joe Barry gets up here and sings, and the Alt family, just about all of them can sing, and Jeffrey can't. He just doesn't like to admit it. I've heard him once or twice, and our friends the Niles, a lot of them sing, and just Brother Chuck and Brother Brian, and I just look around, Miss Cindy, and I can just go on, Miss Jen. All you folks sing. Juanita can probably sing better with COVID than I can with a perfect day, you know? And I've never been able to sing. It sounds one way in my head, and when it comes out, just ain't there. But man, when we get to heaven, I think it's one of my rewards. I'm going to be able to sing with the best of them. And it's rewarding. There's going to be beautiful, beautiful, some of the most beautiful harmonies that you have ever heard in your life are going to be there. There's going to be activity. It's not a coma type, just sit around and look. There's going to be activity. It's going to be busy. It's going to be exciting. When you read the Word of God, you find that God talks about food a lot. He talks about that. I don't know that we'll need food. People get hung up on the mansions. They'll get up. They get hung up on, well, is it a room? Is it a mansion? Is it a place? I don't even care. I'm not going for the house. I'm not even going to need a house. We're going to be able to have all of that. Can you imagine a place with no security systems? No passwords, praise God. Care if I ever see another robot password checker. I know I'm kind of off the subject here, but the only person of passwords keep out on my computer are me. A hacker can get into it anytime he good and well wants, but I can't. And I know the password. I kid you not, we named our internet at home Stupid Internet. If you use our internet at home, that's what it says, Stupid Internet, because I got so tired of it. We won't need it. We won't have any internet. We won't have that little device that you live on in your pocket. We won't even need a pocket Bible. Because the Word will be there right in front of us, standing before us. We won't need to pray like we do now. We can just go right over and talk. Can you imagine? And I sure would love for them to have like instant replay. Wouldn't you love to see the Red Sea? My wife always says she'd love to see that. She'd be the one poking her finger in it to see if it was holding, you know. I don't know what he's going to have prepared for us. The Bible says, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard the wonders that he has prepared for them that believe in him. And there's so much there that it's rewarding. We won't just be sitting around and twiddling our thumbs and with nothing to do. Oh, no. You know, sometimes people foolishly say, and I've preached a lot more on hell than I have heaven, they foolishly say, well, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to party with all my friends are. You're not going to party in hell. But boy, there's going to be a party going on in heaven the likes this world has never seen. It'll throw the little Super Bowl tidbit out the window. And they'll probably even be properly dressed. You see, heaven is real, it is ruled, it is rest, it is rewarding, and it is rejoicing. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, say unto you, likewise joy in heaven, there shall be joy in heaven over one soul that cometh to one sinner that cometh to repentance, more than over 99 persons which need no repentance. Joy in the presence of the angels, and it makes me kind of wonder if even today those that have gone on before, somebody gets saved on earth and they're up there, yeah, there's another one. another one. It's coming to join us. What excitement that is for rejoicing. But can you imagine a world, a place with no contacts? Amen. I have never been able to see right since I was born. And no double vision. Any. I thought double vision was normal until the doctor told me I had it. And I've always had bad vision, and then that I've always had a really strong prescription, and now that I'm getting older, I have to wear reading glasses too. And they said, you want bifocals in your contacts? I said, no, that'd even be worse. And you know what it is. Some of you feel me. You're beyond where I'm at, or you're getting there, and you know, you wake up in the morning, you say, I wonder what's going to hurt today. And all those things and those aches and those pains with this physical body. But even more than that, had a parent the other day, and I sometimes look at it, I don't feel like I'm at this stage of life, but I guess I am. I had a young parent look at me and they said, at what point do you stop worrying about your kids when they leave the house? And I said, well, it hadn't happened for us yet, and ours is married and got a great husband. And I said, I think it's probably when you get to heaven. Because you always are concerned about your kids. I mean, it's one of those things. Your family. I mean, I worry about my wife when she drives off anywhere, you know? And after this eye surgery, you better worry too if you get in front of her. No, it's just the left side, right, baby? It's one of them things I do. You hear a siren. Am I the only one that does that? You hear a siren and you start going through the list. Well, where's my wife? Where's my friends? Where's my, you know, I heard a couple sirens going down the other road the other day, and I almost went down to check on John and Peggy because I was like, I don't know if they're home or not. I mean, it's just, you do. You start going through that mental list. Or the phone rings. When you don't think it should. And you're wondering, uh-oh. Because most people text now, you know, or message or whatever. That's going to be gone. Do you realize when we get to heaven, you will never have to worry again? Ever? When you think about all those physical things, all the ailments, and Miss Kay's going to be running around without a cane and all those different things. But when we get to heaven, you will never, ever, ever worry again. Saw a sign the other day in one of the church bulletins, and it said, don't let worry kill you off. The church can help. But it does. I would dare say, and you realize that they say 80 or 90% of the things that we worry about will never come to pass. And we worry. And in heaven, that burden is going to be gone. And for that moment of time that there will be any sadness of anything where he's at all the judgment seats and all those different things, he says if there's anything that bothers you there, he will wipe away all tears from your eyes. That old song, No Tears in Heaven, and I'll meet you in the morning. And man, there's just trying to imagine that peaceful thing of no worries. I usually get that about every morning for the first 5 seconds of my cup of coffee. You know, and then it runs away, right? No worries. No problems. You won't have to fix anything. The chariots aren't going to break down. You know, and people sometimes wonder, well, there'll be animals there. I don't know. That's up to God. He does say that all creatures will be sustained and carried on. I have no idea. But if you need to have it there, He's going to have it for you. I can promise you that. And you won't have to worry about if you've got a flat tire. You won't have to worry about if you renewed the tag, because there won't be any DMV in heaven. There won't be any Congress. There won't be any kings. I don't care. It won't be there. Man, that makes you want to get on the boat right now, don't it? You see, we really don't live in a society that believes heaven is real. They just kind of hope so. But can I promise you, on the authority of this book, it is real. And I must hurry to get these 5,000 points that I found about heaven done. So the next one is, heaven is reuniting. It is for reuniting. Now, there are some great songs. Take Me to See Jesus. Timothy, you know that song in there? I'd sing that, but Brother Vaughn did a much better job just the other day. And I agree with that. I can't wait to see Jesus. Man, just to see the person who died for us and who has done so much for me and has proven time and time again that he's real in my life. Man, that's exciting. But I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe you're a little more spiritual than me. But I got a lot of other lists of folks I want to see too. I can't wait. I've got grandparents there. My father is there. My earthly father, my dad, has been in heaven since 2009. Wendy's dad is 2017, I believe it was. He's been there since then. Man, last year a little over a year ago, our song leader that we had at church in Florida, music minister, just hard to describe him. One, I've talked about him before, but he had no legs. He was born that way. And has had a powerful, powerful testimony. He wound up going to heaven a year or so ago. And Brother Mike was never afraid of heaven. Brother Mike always used to say, when you get to heaven, you better see if you can catch me. Because he said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be running all over them streets just as fast as I can run. And he had a wheelchair that was pretty quick. You had to keep up with him if you were going to keep up with him on earth, as it was. So I can't imagine. Probably going to step in those gates and get bowled over as he comes running by. And say, well, there went Mike. And he's going to be running around all over that place. That big old smile he always had on his face. And I know his dear wife lives in Tennessee, and son and sons and all, they're going to be looking for him. Man, I can't wait to see him. Our good friend, Brother John, we've probably burnt and throwed marshmallows at each other over 150, 200 campfires over the years, maybe more than that. And I just imagine, we've ate a few of them, but I can't imagine, he's probably sitting by a heavenly bonfire right now. I don't know what they'll be doing, but I can't wait to see him again. It's for reuniting. And do you realize those, and I know this is a very hard, you better win all you can here on this earth, but when we get to heaven, you say, well, what about all those people that I knew that aren't there? Am I going to be going around checking a list? You better worry about it now, because when you get there, that's all going to be gone from your memory. He's going to erase that. It's for reuniting. It is promised. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, you just imagine that. Whew, snatching up. And all of that, as we go fly, I think it's close, man. I tell you what, things are happening at warp speed now so much that you can't even imagine. It's close. Heaven is real. Heaven is ruled. Heaven is for rest. It is rewarding. It is rejoicing. It is reuniting. It is promised, but I want you to know, don't miss this. This is very important. You ever had the teacher say, this will be on the test? Write it down. This will be on the test. Heaven is for the reserved. Everybody's not a-going. As I said, I've had to do and had the privilege of doing a lot of funerals. I told one of the guys at the funeral home the other day, I said, I don't believe that, I said I hadn't done as many weddings as funerals. I said, but one thing about it, when you do a funeral, you're pretty sure they're not going to get divorced. But everybody always wants to find some hope that their loved one is going to heaven. Over the years, God has blessed me with being able to go, and you folks have helped us with a lot of that as well, but go on a lot of different missions trips and a lot of endeavors around the world sharing the gospel. We made a lot of friends, just had awesome experiences, and just can't tell you what it's done in our lives. And so there's been many plane trips, and then my wife's mother was sick a few years ago. She had to fly back and forth, and I've flown back and forth to my mom when I couldn't drive, and when I was dating Wendy in college, she was in West Springfield, Pennsylvania, and I was in Valdosta, Georgia, and we were going to school in Clearwater, Florida, and so it seemed like planes were starting to be like buses to us. We were on them all the time. And back in the day, some of you remember, you always got the little paper ticket, which you can still get. I didn't know, but you can still get it. And nowadays, they're on your phone. You know, it bothered me for a long time. I said, well, what in the world? What if I lose my phone? I don't know if I want my ticket on my phone. And then it kind of dawned on me, well, you idiot, you probably have more of a chance losing your ticket than you do your phone, your paper ticket. And so I quit worrying about it. I said, well, if I lose my phone, I'll just do the same thing I do if I lose my paper ticket. I'll go over to the desk and say, hey, can you get me another ticket? But one of the things I found out that Brother Billy and I have in common, and I know he'll get a tickle out of this, his wife will really get a tickle out of this, because she usually tells him to stop after a while, and mine does me, is constantly, when I have a ticket to get on the plane, especially if it was paper, I'm constantly pulling that thing out, looking at it, looking at the seat, looking at the gate again, looking at the seat, looking back at the little thing, making sure they ain't changed the gate. And now it's on the phone, so I can do it, and she don't know I'm doing it now, see? And I found out one day, he and I do the same thing, and Regina after a while says, would you quit that, you know? But I worried about losing it. I want to get where I'm going. I don't want the plane to leave us. One time we were coming back from Nashville, Tennessee to Florida, I think it was, and Melanie was very little, and we had gotten some traffic, and they told us, run, and we'll try to hold the plane for you. And we were running through the airport. She was about 3, I think, and she was screaming, airplane, don't leave us. The guys at the security were laughing so hard, they ran us right on through. Can I promise you the plane's not going to leave you? He's never lost a one. No one has ever been able to pluck them out of my hand. Are you going? You know, I said at the beginning, if people believe, say that so many people in America say they believe in heaven, and I gave you all the reasons I think they don't really believe it because of how they live, because they're trying to have just as comfortable, just as plush, just as nice a ride as they can here. And they're not worrying a thing about there. I remember we've had some bumpy plane rides before, some in small, some in big. I remember the one over the South China Sea where I'm bad about just saying what pops in my mouth. And we hit a turbulence that we dropped about 500 feet at once in a big commercial job. And I mean, it threw drinks off on the floor and all that. And Miss Peggy said, what was that? And I said, we hit a cow. I was pretty sure it's what happened. And I've been on some bumpy plane rides before. But suppose I told you, we have a plane over here that is beautiful. And you go in and sit down, it's first class. You can sit there, they're going to bring you drinks, they're going to polish your shoes, they're going to take care of your every need. There's little massagers and heated seats and built-in things, and they're going to bring those little slushies by for you, little, you know, all kind of stuff. I mean, it's just going to be beautiful. Anything you want, the ride is very, very smooth. I mean, that pilot's great, and it is always great. And I say, well, what about when we get where we're going? Well, we don't exactly know where we're going. We've never made this trip before, and we're not really sure that you're going to be able to get there. But, man, the ride is going to be great. It's going to be smooth. And then over here, I had this old Army barracks plane, you know, one of them old, I forget what they were called now, those big transport planes. Just has the thing in it, or maybe one of them old DCs. And so this plane is going to be rough. It's not real comfortable seat. Sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's cold. Sometimes you might not even hardly have enough to eat on this ride. People going to make fun of you for getting in that plane. And that plane is not very pretty. Definitely a rough ride. But the pilot on that plane has a 100% safety record. And when you get where you're going, it is going to be the most beautiful place you've ever seen. And it has never failed ever. Which ticket are you going to buy? You say, well, I'd be a fool to buy that ticket with the really nice ride that doesn't know where it's going. Really? Because people are making that choice every day. They're so worried about right here, right now, and God never promised you an easy ride as a Christian. He said he's never seen his seed begging or forsaken or his seed begging bread, but he did not say you were going to have an easy time of it as a Christian. But he did promise the end was going to be worth it all. It's for the reserved. Do you have a ticket? You know, I found out a little interesting thing here. I found out a scientific fact that Albert Einstein discovered called the theory of relativity. Now, Albert Einstein, I believe, had a lot of God in him when you study his life. And the Bible's been way ahead of man all the time. I don't know if you know this or not, but the formula for a nuclear bomb was always in the Bible. It's found in the book of 1 Peter, if you were to read it in the Greek. And it's always been there. And also, the theory of relativity has always been in the Bible. They tell me that once the theory of relativity takes over, the speed of light goes past a certain speed, that all of a sudden time doesn't exist anymore. And you know the whole thing with the sun and all that, and I'm not going to bore you with science lessons because I know the salad bars like to call it a while to a Baptist. It must be obeyed, so we got to hurry. But that theory of relativity said time ceases to exist at a certain speed of light. Now, is there any particular Bible hero in the Bible that you can think of that is called the light of the world? Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. He is called the light multiple occasions. The light of the world. Time shall be no more. You see, when you worry about all these things here, part of it's because it's tied to time. There won't be any more time. It'll be gone. and the light of the world will take over. And I want to tell you this morning that if you don't have a reservation, you better get it quick, because pretty soon time shall be no more. I know I've shared this story with you before, but as we close with this, I want to remind you again how important it is to make sure. One nice thing about getting older is you can tell a story and you don't remember it was that you told it. And the other nice thing is all your friends don't remember it either. When my father was dying in the Veterans Hospital, knew he was dying, there was a nurse there that was really bothered about that. And my dad was a very practical person. Dad didn't use a lot of churchy terms. He was a mechanic. Big fingers, he's taller than I am, a lot taller, a lot bigger than I am, and worked with his hands and worked pretty much outside most all of his life, around lumber yards. And if he said something smelled bad, he said it stunk. He didn't perspire, he sweated, you know. And he looked at that lady, that little nurse came in, and she said, "Mr. Bobby," he said, "I got to ask you something." He said, "I've been around you all this week here." And she said, "This bothers me." She said, "That man," and they had about five or six in the ward at that time. It was really overcrowded in the VA in Gainesville, Florida. She said, "That man down there on the end, he has done nothing but give us problems. He's broke out, broke into offices to try to find money to get cigarettes, and we find him all over the campus. He's cussed us all out. We can't keep him in his bed." And she said, "It bothers me because they came in and said he got a good report and they believe that he's going to make a full recovery." And he said, "Well, that's..." Dad said something about, "Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that." And she said, "But we know your diagnosis and you've been so kind to all of us." And it's very evident that you know God and you've been so kind to us. And she said, "It just doesn't seem fair to me." And that young nurse was sitting there and was really troubled. And Dad looked at her and he said, "Well, honey, you know why that is?" He said, "I know for a shadow doubt, I know where I'm going and I'm not afraid to go." He said, "That man down there needs another chance to get it figured out. This might be your chance to get it figured out."